We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Representative Filippi, I always say you're one of the most occupationally interesting members of the General Assembly because not only are you a lawyer, you're also an organic cattle farmer and part of a family business on Block Island. To get back to basics, what made the key difference in why you were able to defeat longtime lawmaker Donna Walsh to get your seat last year?
I think it comes down to hard work and developing ideas that resonate with the people. We spoke a lot about corruption. We spoke a lot about 38 studios and environmental concerns in our district and statewide. And also, you know, economic development is really resonating with people because their children are moving out of state and their grandchildren are moving out of state to find jobs, and they only see them on Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I think we really appeal to not only people's desire for a better government, but a desire for a better economically sufficient state.
During the 2014 campaign, your rival questioned whether you actually lived on Block Island. So did you live there then, and do you live on Block Island now?
So I live on Block Island probably about 7 to 8 months a year. And in the wintertime, I move off and I have an apartment in Providence where I serve in the legislature.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm just wondering, you know, Governor Raimondo has talked a lot about tourism and having a new state branding initiative. It looks like 2015 was a very good year for tourism. You talk to people in Newport, Block Island. Do you think this problem is clearing itself up on its own? The market is taking care of it? Providence has huge hotel occupancy. It seems like we're having a good year.
It can always be better. And one of our problems is that we have a very busy summer, and then our shoulder seasons are slow.
Mm-hmm.
So we need marketing not just for our peak season, but for our off-peak season.
Like Newport does with Christmas in the Mansions and some of those kind of interests they have?
Exactly. I want to develop a year-round tourism market here, a strong year-round tourism market, because tourism is our competitive advantage. We always say to ourselves, what does Rhode Island do right? What is our competitive advantage? And it's staring us in our face. And we need to do a better job of marketing our state nationwide.
You're a supporter of the so-called Tenther movement. This is based on the 10th Amendment and the belief that unless something is specifically spelled out in the Constitution, matters should be decided by states and their citizens. In terms of putting it into real bread and butter issues, what are the top concerns for you in Rhode Island that are related to the 10th Amendment?
Sure. Okay, so I want to be more specific. The Tenther movement, I think, is based on the Supreme Court case law dealing with the anti-commandeering doctrine, which basically states that the federal government cannot force state governments to enforce a federal regulatory program. There's a lot of nationwide issues that deal with core civil liberties, such as not having the NSA listening to your phone calls, not having the federal government indefinitely detain you under the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act without trial or charge. So what we've done in numerous states, including California and Virginia, for this NDAA indefinite detention, is had states pass laws saying that state officials will not comply with a federal government program which violates constitutional rights. In Rhode Island, I think one of the issues is medical marijuana. I don't believe the federal government, despite what the Supreme Court has said, has the authority under the Commerce Clause to tell people who are dying of cancer that they can't smoke marijuana. So that's one issue that's local.
How about environmental laws? Isn't it a little ridiculous to try to say that we shouldn't have federal environmental laws that aren't enforced by the states?
I've never said that. I think that environmental problems travel interstate.
Yes, they do.
So that is interstate commerce, and the federal government therefore has a right to regulate it. If you grow marijuana in state and give it to someone who's sick, that is not an interstate commerce, and the federal government does not have the constitutional authority to regulate that.
We're talking here with State Representative Blake Filippi of Block Island. And Representative, I'd like to ask you about a little controversy this week when House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello told the Providence Journal that he doesn't think white privilege exists in Rhode Island. What did you think of his remark? Was he correct?
I'm not going to comment on Mr. Mattiello's or Speaker Mattiello's comments. I don't particularly use that term because I think it when you use that term, it seems like it's something you have to take away. I think more in Dr. Martin Luther King's terms, we have to speak about equality. And I think that we have two types of equality, of equality of law, which we have a guaranteed right to in this country, and equality of opportunity. And I think developing equality of opportunity is a much more difficult, amorphous concept mm-hmm. than enforcing equality of law. And so I won't comment on the speaker's comments. I don't like that term. I prefer more to speak in the terms used by Dr. Martin Luther King.
Well, isn't it correct, though, that we seem to have a lot more prosecution of minor drug violations, for instance, of minority youth than we do of white youth. We know we have a racial profiling problem when you have people like Senator Harold Metz, who doesn't know how to lie, as you know, will come on here and tell you that he gets stopped more than other folks because he's a black guy driving back from the Southside Center with his basketball sweats on, and he's driving a car with legislative plates. I mean, those are realities, aren't they?
And that is the equality of law I speak about. You know, my father was a civil rights leader in this state, mm-hmm. and he fought for equality between the races. He had one of the first integrated music venues in the country, and the cops used to show up and beat everyone up for integrating. So I'm very attuned to the issues here. We need to enforce vigorously equality of law, and if the law is being applied in an unequal manner in this state, the hammer needs to come down.
In the past, you've supported restoring state ethics commission oversight over the General Assembly. Do you still support that? And if so, what do you think it will take to get the General Assembly off the dime to give voters a chance to weigh in on that?
I unequivocally support it with one caveat. I believe that even if we have to recuse ourselves, we should be able to comment on the issue on the floor. Just can't vote on it. Because if mm-hmm. you are having to recuse yourself because of an issue, you probably have a lot more intimate knowledge of this than other representatives, and they need to hear your information. So I support it 100%. What needs to happen is the people need to start calling their representatives and senators and demanding action, and they'll get it.
What do you think the impact or effect of the wind farm construction has been on people on Block Island? Is there still opposition there, or is it waning?
I think there's still opposition. It's a divisive issue. Block Island has an incredible difficulty with our electric rates. We had the mm-hmm. second highest electric rates in
right.
the country, I believe, last year. Now that diesel prices have gone down, our electric prices have come down as well. But now that the foundations are out there, I think people realize how close to shore and how visible these are going to be in mm-hmm. the most pristine view in the state of Rhode Island.
Representative, what are your top legislative priorities for the coming session?
There's a few of them, and one I'll announce here. I believe that if we're going to go forward with a toll proposal, we need a constitutional amendment that forbids tolls on passenger cars other than those that are assessed now. So if the government ever does want to assess tolls on passenger cars, the people need to repeal that constitutional amendment so the government has that authority at that time. I also believe in repealing the Amazon tax. It's a tax that prevents, frankly, local affiliates from doing business with Amazon, and has cost the state a lot of money and brought in no revenue.
I'm wondering, though, for tolls. Tolls don't seem to stop anyone from going to Newport. Tolls don't seem to stop anyone from going to the Berkshires along the Mass Pike. It's a user fee, isn't it, to keep the roads built? What's the problem?
You're talking 17 to 22 tolls throughout our state. And frankly,
The Mass Pike. Have you taken the Mass Pike from Stockbridge to Boston?
I have.
There's tons of tolls.
I have. But those tolls are when you exit, correct? They're not along the highway. So here's my fear. My fear is that if you look at the multiple missteps that have gone down with the rollout of this plan, and frankly, what I think is a flawed economic impact analysis, I don't believe that the truck tolls are going to be able to pay for the highway and the bonds. And so what's going to happen when we run out of money? They're either going to assess taxes, tolls on cars or have higher tolls on our commercial vehicles, or they're going to say the same thing that they did with 38 Studios. Oh, even though we don't have an obligation to pay this, our credit's going to take a hit.
We're out of time, so we're going to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Wonderful to be here.
And Representative Blake Filippi, independent of Block Island.
Ian, Scott, thank you, guys.